Welcome to Growing Up Boomer. I'm your host, Padre, with my co-host, Cotton. And this podcast is dedicated to the life and times of the baby boomer generation. The show is loosely scripted and sometimes will go down rabbit holes, and where it leads us to, one will never know. This podcast can be informative, funny, and sometimes irreverent. But most of all, we hope you find it entertaining. Hey, Cotton, how's it going, my man?
Doing great. Yourself?
I cannot complain, my man. Hey, you know what the wonderful thing is about this time of year?
What's that?
It's baseball season, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby. Opening day, I can't wait.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see how my Dodgers fare this year. Spent way too...
Oh, they got a new pitcher.
Well, they got two new pitchers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yamamoto and Ohtani.
Yeah.
Except one's up for gambling charges.
Who's the big tall guy?
Yeah, that's Ohtani from the Angels.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's the one that got, that they're saying that his interpreter had stolen money from him to pay off bookies.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's a big scandal there. Dodgers can't help themselves. They're always having scandals. We'll see what happens on that. But they got another guy, I think his name is Yamamoto from Japan, who's never faced major league pitching.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Put him right in there, and man, he got rocked during spring training.
Huh.
So we'll see how he does.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know, today's podcast is going to be about car features throughout history that is very, very strange. And of course, you know, during the baby boomer years, we came up with some weird stuff. This will tell you how serious we were about driving as baby boomers. All right. The innovations of 50s and 60s and some weird stuff that goes back to the 30s that I cannot believe.
Yeah.
But before we do, I've got one story for you.
Okay.
All righty. This is from the AP. Doctors remove 150 live bugs from Florida man's nose. You're shaking your head, aren't you?
Yep.
Like, what's up with that?
Oh, I don't know.
Get this. Here it is.
Snore anymore.
Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
A Florida man is breathing easier now that 150 bugs have been removed from his nose. An unidentified... What are you laughing for, man? This is serious stuff.
It's the buzz around town.
The unidentified patient went to the hospital earlier this month after noticing that his whole face felt like it was on fire, according to a Friday report by Jacksonville's First Coast News. Although the man first started experiencing symptoms in October, it wasn't until recently that it became serious. Okay? Well, I'm telling you right now, Cotton, this is why men die before women. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not feeling so good. This is October. And the guy waits till March?
Yeah.
Until it gets so bad he can't stand it anymore? All righty. This is why women live longer than men. End of story.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. He says, over a couple of hours, my face just started swelling. My lips swelled. I could hardly talk. The patient told the First Coast News, I couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom without my nose starting to bleed.
Terrible.
You wait till then? The man visited HCA Florida Memorial Hospital in Jacksonville and consulted with Dr. David Carson, an ear, nose, and throat specialist who was on call. Carlson was shocked when he looked inside the man's nose with a camera. He saw dozens and dozens of bugs feeding on the nose and sinus cavity. I don't know why I'm laughing. Cavity. So some as big as the end of his pinky. Oh, man. You know, did I ever tell you that I used to have really bad polyps in my nose?
No.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how bad they were, okay? You know, I was having snoring and stuff like that, and it was just really bad. It was so bad that the first doctor I went to, when she stuck the camera up my nose, you know what she said? Oh, my God. And then she called all the nurses to take a look. She'd never seen anything that big in somebody's nose. If you remember, when we worked together come springtime, when all the allergies and how I would just be just terrible, you know.
Yeah.
So, so let's continue here. All righty. Dr. Carlson, I knew he was in big trouble. Oh, I knew he was in big trouble.
Yeah.
When the erosion that would occur near the skull base is very close proximity to his eyes and his brain. I mean, they're eating away, Carlson says. At first, the physician tried to use suction to remove the insects, which were at the larva stage. Oh, that's gross. But they were too large, so we had to extract them one by one through the man's nose. Ah.
How does somebody not know that something's going on?
Exactly. At first, of this, you know, and it says they were right up against his skull base, right under the brain, and they had gone through that, they would have killed him, the doctor says. Hey, they still don't know what it is. Okay, it remains a mystery how the larva got inside the man's nose, but he told First Coast News that he probably might have stemmed from his bad hygiene habits when handling dead fish. Before, I would rinse my hands in the river. Now, I'll use cleaner and do a better job and not touch my nose or my hands. The man told the station. Wow.
Crazy.
Well, let's get into our podcast. What do you say, Cotton?
I'm ready.
All righty. Now, as you know, I had to send you some pictures on this one because I don't think I could describe them very good.
Yeah,
these are innovations. Yeah, these are innovations that were done during the 50s, 60s, and some beforehand, because, like in the 30s, because they are so way out there that we have to go over this. And then the X, millennials, the Gen Zs, and even the alphas can understand where we were back in the day. You know, how we really looked at driving, okay? The first one is the revolutionary steering. It's called the wrist twist system. That in itself sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
This was done in the 1960s. And if you remember, a lot of them had the vertical yokes across it. This was before the airbags. Like, for instance, you look in the 60 Chevy and it's got the yoke that goes across.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a steering wheel, right, that goes around, it just has two. It looks like handles at the end of the yoke. I don't know how that works.
I don't know either. That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have a Brody knob to turn that baby.
Yeah, it's it looks dangerous as hell.
It is. I know it. It's just the vertical yoke and two little handles. Like I said, you got to put a Brody knob on that. You remember the Brody knobs?
That was that the like a pilot type thing?
Oh, no. The Brody knob. This looks like a pilot thing. This looks like the from an airplane. But the Brody knob was produced in the 50s, so you can do a Brody in your car. Remember in the bikes we used to do a Brody, we used to slide? And it was a knob, and sometimes the forklifts had them, so you can turn real easy. Remember, it had the circle. It came out on the forklifts because the forklifts didn't have power steering. And so you use a Brody knob to turn it. That's why they put the turning wheels in the back, because in the front with all the load, man, you'd never be able to turn that forklift.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. So there we have this one, that this dangerous-looking steering wheel. But then, if you want to put that steering wheel in, how about a vintage entertainment? How about a dashboard recording player? Remember we talked about this one?
Oh, yeah.
You remember? Yeah. Yeah, an actual record player in the cars. No A-tracks, no cassettes, no streaming, a record player in the car. That was big time. That was luxury at its finest.
And I remember that because I often wondered, how did they get it from skipping?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see the picture? I showed you the picture because I remember we talked about it before, and you're thinking of an arm that goes over it. This is more like a jukebox, and you slip the 45 in, and then it plays.
Oh.
Okay. So it's more like a jukebox. You put it in, and but you can see it. It almost looks like an 8-track tape player. But it takes a 45.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this was big time in the lowriders. They all had this in the 60s before the 8-track tapes.
Yeah.
And the TVs in the back seat with the rabbit ears.
Yeah. So they can look in their rearview mirror.
No. So they can entertain those in the back seat.
Real smart.
Well, wait a minute. They were ahead of their time. How many minivans have the TVs in the back to entertain the kids?
To entertain the kids, but not the driver.
Yes. Yeah, but that's why it's in the back seat.
Right.
It's not in the front seat. It is in the back seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But now you're playing your records. You got this funky looking steering wheel. And what do we need to go with that? How about a glove box mini bar, huh? In the 1950s, they actually put this out in the 1957 Eldorado Brougham.
Hey, the year I was born.
Oh, maybe that's why, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It comes with a decanter, glasswares, and it just kind of like folds down and has all the like little shot glasses in there. Oh, yeah, man. And, you know, it probably has something that says you shouldn't be doing this while you're driving. But, you know, people are using it while they're driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a funky steering wheel, listening to music, and having a nice shot of hard liquor.
Yeah.
Jeez. What were they thinking, man?
I don't know. But there were days when we didn't have that much of an easier way to drink.
All right.
Oh, I'm glad those days are gone.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness, huh? Thank goodness we made it this old. After what we pulled as teenagers. All right, here's another one. Okay, I had to do this one because if you remember, we did innovations of the 50s, in which case it had the kind of like GPS. And it was like the Viewmasters, and you put it in. Well, they even had one earlier than that in the 30s, in which case it was a paper map in a roll. Like a piano, a player piano, and you would turn it, and that would give you the map. That was the first GPS. So you'd find out where your location was, and as you're driving, you're turning the map so you can see where you're at.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, that's even more.
I guess that's better than a Viewmaster. I have no idea, you know?
Yeah. While you're driving?
Yeah. Oh, here's the other one, too, back in the 30s. Automatic chin alarm. So when you fall asleep and your chin hits the steering wheel, there's a noise.
And it sounds like this.
Yeah. So if your chin drops, it indicates sleeplessness. Now, how about this? How about you just pull over and go to sleep?
Yeah.
No, this will keep me awake. I'll keep driving. It actually attached to the clothes. It was actually attached to like the collar. So when your chin went down, yeah, exactly. So when your chin went down, it would hit it.
Amazing. What they needed is one of these things.
Yeah, slap on the face, right? Oh, now this one is for Senator Romney. Remember when he was running for president, and they got on this case because he put the dog on the roof of the car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He was just doing what this thing here, the pet travel solution, the dog sack. He was just ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the 1936 dog sack was an innovation. Kind of controversial. You put that dog, it looks like a gunny bag.
Yeah.
You know, with a little place for its head, and it hooks on the and it hooks on the side door. So the dog's outside in this sack with the head out.
Yeah, all he needed is one good side swipe.
Oh yeah. Don't forget that. How about a pebble coming up and hitting the poor Fido in the face?
I think this car looks better than that.
A canvas sack attached to the outside of the car. All right. Maybe that's what Romney should have got instead of the dog cage.
Oh, God.
Amazing. Oh. Man. Oh, how about the voice recording on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you have a little microphone and you can record and have a great old time.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's the equivalent to the smartphones today.
Yeah.
Probably. Everybody's gotta be looking at the smartphone. Hey, you know, why don't you do why don't you do some recording while you're taking notes and recording notes and stuff like that? This in the day, this was a smartphone, the recording device.
And you know what? Just looking at it, I bet you it overheated.
You're probably right because it did have tubes.
Yeah,
there was no transistors back there. Matter of fact, when they were doing my air conditioning in the my insulation in my house one year, they brought me down a 1947 radio from a Chevy.
Really?
Yeah, they said, hey, look what we found up there. Because, you know, my house was built, I think, in 1942.
Wow. Oh,
so, yeah, they have this 1940. So I have it in my shed, in my workbench.
Oh, cool.
Alrighty. Yeah. So I have that with, and behind it,
Does it still work?
What's that?
Does it still work?
I'm sure it does. I didn't plug it in or anything.
Oh, okay.
don't forget, it's for a 6-volt system.
Oh, yeah.
And so I have my Bluetooth speaker behind it. So it sounds like the music's coming out of the radio, out of that old radio when I stream. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, how about this one? In the 1950s, they called it the Colossal 21-foot Station Wagon.
Yeah, it sure wouldn't fit nowadays.
Yeah, try parking in the city with that thing.
Yeah, it don't happen.
A 12-passenger station wagon. Dang, man. I think what they did is they converted them to hearses.
I'm trying to think of the big station wagon we had. Yeah, we had all us kids in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 5 kids, 6, 7. So I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'd be in the back looking out the window. No seat belts, nothing.
I know it, man. Forget if you have a rear ender, right?
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
And there was only, and I remember those. There's only one way to get in and one way to get out, and that was the tailgate. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I put this one in. This was an innovation. And the reason why I put it in is because they actually sold them to San Francisco, which was the bullet bouncer for the police cruisers.
Wow.
Back in the late 30s, early 40s. So it looked like a tank. It just had two little slots, one for the driver and one for the passenger. And there was no window, really.
Jeez.
And so they were able to, shall we say, shoot at the bad guys.
Wow.
That didn't last very long, but it actually sold it to the San Francisco Police Department.
I believe it. Yeah, that's, there was like no peripheral vision. Yeah, jeez.
That's the reason why I just mentioned that, because of the fact that, hey, you know what? San Francisco had this at one time. Oh, man. Oh, did you see this one? I had to send you this one. The emergency response. The rolling safety device?
Yeah, what is that thing?
In other words, it's kind of like, remember the these old-fashioned steam engines? They used to have the cow catcher. But remember, yeah, they had that item in the front to push the cows out of the way? Or yeah, it's, yeah. Oh, more rightly, the cow exploder?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Well, this one actually was a roller, so if a pedestrian was lying in the road for whatever reason, it wouldn't, the car wouldn't roll over them. It would roll the pedestrian. Yeah, there was actually a news report. I mean, when they first put it out, and these were for just for trucks, not for cars, just for trucks. And it says trucks equipped with the new safety device shown in the photo at the left will literally sweep a fallen pedestrian before it and thus save him from being crushed to almost certain death beneath the heavy wheels. The device consists chiefly of grooved rolling mounted on an extension arm in front of the wheels and geared to the engine.
Jeez.
I know it. On coming in contact with a fallen passenger, it tends to roll him ahead till the truck can be brought to a stop.
Oh, okay.
Originally, it projects out in front, it protrudes out in front of the car, serving as a bumper, but is released immediately by the driver when there is a possibility of an accident.
Jeez.
So it looks like a bumper. Until you see an accident, then you have to lower it.
Yeah, what if you're too late?
Exactly. Oh, here's an accident about to happen. I will lower my pedestrian roller.
Yeah, let's raise him up and drive him around town.
Yeah, they should have a shovel, just like a trash truck. Right, and just bump them in the back. Here you go. Just dump. What was that? Soylent Green. In that movie? Yeah. Pick them up and throw them in the back. Protesters? There you go. You're in the back. Oh, how about this one here? This never came to fruition, but it was interesting. Was the front and rear steering. It was like a diamond-shaped car, but it had one wheel in the front, two in the middle, one in the back, and the front and the rear tires turn. So, with, you know, of course, it give you a pretty good... Yeah. It would give you a much better turning radius, but turn too tight, you'll flip the car over.
Yeah. That's why it's round, I guess. You just keep
going. Yeah. So it rolls over and it gets back on its wheel, right?
Yeah.
Now, this one is interesting here. It was a radio-powered car. This is only in the planning stages. It never made it to construction. It was aimed to replace gasoline engines because this was during the Great Depression. And it would get radio-transmitted electrical power. That's how it would get its power, through the radio waves. So what?
Wow.
Yeah, so what would activate your radio, they were trying to do the same with cars. Because of the fact that during the Depression, people couldn't afford gas, but this was something that would run without having gasoline. You didn't have to charge it or whatever. It was running off the radio waves.
Wow. Way ahead of its time.
Yeah, way ahead of its... Oh, I'll tell you what. Electric cars, they've been around for ages.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that my S10 truck?
Yeah.
They used to have an EV.
Really?
In 1995, I think it was 95, 96, they had an EV.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, though, it only got 50 miles. on a charge.
Don't rely on it going through the desert.
Yeah. Great for people like us who are retired. We only go to the store and back. Yeah. Don't take it on any long trips, though. Yeah, but EVs have been around for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't realize
that. Yeah, they're perfecting them. The problem with EVs is the battery.
Yeah.
And mining for all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's strip mine for these batteries, because we want to, we want to make sure that we take care of the environment, so we're going to strip mine for the batteries.
Gasoline is tearing up this world.
Yeah, let's tear up this world to get rid of gasoline. And this is the last one we're going to go over.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative fuels, cars powered by beer. In 1956, they modified an Oldsmobile to run on beer and whiskey.
Wow.
I guess if you want to race the car, you'd put whiskey in it. But yeah.
Wow. Did it work?
What's that? Oh, yeah. They did. It was aimed to reduce carbon buildup and promote clean driving.
But who'd want to waste that good beer?
Exactly. Wait a minute. Don't waste any good alcohol on this thing. So yeah,
it's going to be drinking gasoline.
This was all an experiment for alternative fuels.
Wow.
This is the way Budweiser can get out of the funk that they got themselves into. Make a car that runs on their beer. Oh man, they'd be making a ton of money. Yeah, let me have that beer, man. Oh, look, there's beer in the refrigerator. No, that's for the car. Don't you dare drink that. Oh, man. All right, Cotton, what do you say we bring this one to a close, buddy?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, my man. Have a great one, okay?
You too.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Nos vemos después.
We'd like to thank you for listening. And leave you with this one quote from Alan Kay. Innovation, the best way to predict the future is to create it. And until next time, may God bless.